probably don't really need this microphone, but I was one of those children that Charlie Strange helped raise. I'm one of those survivors, and he helped raise a lot of us in this room. A lot of us cousins, and we were really more like brothers and sisters. We all lived out on some land that my aunt and grandmother owned, and so he had his hands full. He had a lot of us to guide and direct, and he could do that. He could definitely guide you and definitely direct you. He was a very patient man. He taught us to love the Lord, taught us to pray, and he was, in fact, pastored here a lot, as well as the fact that he was my youth leader. And I can attest to the fact that he really loved all of the youth, and, you know, not just his own, although our family made up half the church, so, you know, fortunately he could whip us all because we were all kin to him. And in fact, he did that one day. We were out playing in the warehouse, and we knew we weren't supposed to be out there. And actually, we had the preacher's children out there playing with us. So we're all playing in the warehouse. Here comes Uncle Charlie. Now, you know, you could always tell about Uncle Charlie when he was, you know, getting a little, he was calm and all, but when he was getting mad, this vein would stick out the side of his throat, you know. And you'd see that vein stick out, and you'd really want to run, but there was no way out. We were stuck. There was just one little area that we could get through. So he whipped every one of us as we came out, you know. So my Aunt Jeannie said, "Well, Charlie, you know the preacher's children were out there too. Did you whip them too?" He said, "Well, if they were out there, I whipped them." So, you know, he didn't mind disciplining us, but he was really, you know, for a lot of us that really only had our moms to be mom and dad, he was daddy and uncle and friend. And so, how can you get up in 3 minutes and describe a gift, you know? Because he was a gift in my life and in my children's life. All the things he did for us, he did for them. He took all of us to the Junior Museum and all this stuff, and then he had to keep tradition, taking the children or his grandchildren to the Junior Museum and to the movies and stuff like that. And I guess one of the most thankful things, if I wanted to thank Uncle Charlie, I'd probably thank him for teaching me to drive. Because my mother here, after I had, like, run 3 red lights and rolled backward, you know, on Tennessee Street, you know how it goes up and makes that hill on Monroe Street? After I had done that, and, you know, she's coloring her hair now, but she does have some gray hair that I gave her. So that was the last driving lesson I got with her. So Uncle Charlie taught me to drive, let me take the maid Pansy home. You know, Pansy passed early, but we know why. But anyway, you know, as I said, just to get up and in just a few minutes share someone who was just a gift in your life, it's impossible. But I just felt compelled to get up and share how much he meant to me, how much I loved him. And I know all the boys and girls, we all loved him so much, and you know we're going to miss him. But the thing about it is, we know where he is, and we know that if our hearts are right with the Lord, we'll be right there with him. And just, you know, before we can even imagine, you know, we'll be there, and that's encouraging, because I believe when we're in heaven, he won't whip us anymore.
Anyone else like to speak?
I never met Charlie until I married his sister-in-law about 15 years ago or something like that. And, right. So I have not known him a long time. But I have vacationed with him, gone to the beach with him, gone on a couple cruises, and besides seeing him on a pretty regular basis. And he was one of a kind. Pretty laid-back guy, but easy to be around. And if he doesn't like something, well, you knew about it, he'd grumble a little bit. But he loved his family. And it was my pleasure to know him. And I wish everybody the best. Everybody's better for knowing him, I think.
Anyone else?
I'm going to try. I'd like to thank Aunt Joyce for bringing him into our family. he was just everything. But he was. I just can't tell you. Never had anybody spend as much time with us as he did. He just never turned you away. And like I said, most of us didn't have daddies. And he didn't try to be a daddy, he tried to be a friend, and just, he was just there, always. I'm the second grandchild, and I was there when Angel brought him home. Living with grandma then. A few weeks before he died, he asked me, he said, you know, remember when I used to pick you up and put you on my shoulders? And I said, yeah. The biggest man I ever seen in my life. Pretty sure if I fell off, I'd get hurt real bad, but I knew I was in good hands. But he just spent so much time with his grandkids. If you didn't know it, you'd have never known that he married into the family. He was just a part of this family. He assimilated so well. And he just took care of us, everybody. And he's just an amazing man. Just amazing. And I will miss him. I will miss him.
I actually have something I'd like to read. This is an email that Chuck and I got from a friend of ours that lives in Germany. I think most of you, or quite a few of you, may remember Torsten Gattner. Yeah, Torsten. And I just kind of goes along with what Durwood was saying. I'll just read verbatim what Torsten wrote. Dear Karen, dear Chuck, I'm truly shocked. Suddenly I can see images from your family home very clearly. I remember how comforting it was to see that you had a family with such a nice father. I did not know what it was really like to have a father. I did not think I was jealous. It was just very nice to be part of your family and to see how you live together and how you embraced me to be part of your family. My friends at home, this was different. Their fathers would go to the plant or mine and not be seen until resting after the shifts. They were not really part of daily life. My grandfather was very nice, and I have wonderful memories. I would have liked him and my stepfather to be around longer. Your father has seen you to grow up and the grandchildren. This is very nice. I am very sorry. Torsten. I just thought that was just very much like Torsten, and I think it said a lot about Dad.
Lee said about it. I'm younger than Lee, and when Mom and Dad divorced and we were in Jacksonville, I didn't understand it at the time. I didn't know why we moved back to Tallahassee. I really didn't remember Tallahassee because I wasn't here, and it's really hadn't been that long ago that it finally sunk in that you know, Mom had the sense, the common sense, and the good Lord to bring us back here so Lee and I could have, you know, some men in our life, some fatherly figures in our life. And my grandpa, I mean, he basically taught me, you know, the work ethic. He kept me employed. He let me sell my nasty chicken eggs to his overnight people for 19 cents a dozen. And something that's important, I mean, okay, so that's my grandpa and my Uncle Dave, Dave Keel and Ramsey. Uncle Dave, that's who we came and we moved in with. And you know, it's when you get older and you have children and grandchildren and friends that you know, I don't know if I'd want Jory's brother and family moving in with us and staying that longer. If they did, I'd leave, you know, or something. But, I mean, it just that's hard. That was hard on Uncle Dave. And I look at that now, and I know that was hard on him. But Uncle Dave taught me to fish. He taught me to hunt. I can do it real good, but he never did tell me where they all were, so I can't catch any fish or deer because he didn't tell me where they were at. Now, my Uncle Charlie, there's two things I loved, and that was motorcycles and football. And I wanted to play football, and I know Uncle Charlie took me and Davey up to Godby Field, and the guy that was coaching it was Ted Rodrigue, a gentleman who played for FSU. And he stayed at every practice, told me what position to get in, what to play. I couldn't even get dressed. I had to take my pads and stuff, and I would ride my bike down to over to their house, Chuck and Karen's and Aunt Joyce and Uncle Charlie. Uncle Charlie would help me get on my pads, tape me up, and then I'd go back home. Mom take me to the game. He went with me to buy my first motorcycle. I had saved up $600, and we went down on North Monroe Street, and he test drove it, made sure that I was getting what I needed, and was right there with me and brought it home for me. And the biggest thing about it is Uncle Charlie, that's who took me to Suwannee River State Park, and that's where I was baptized for the first time. And he did that, and we used to bug him on Friday. I know that man had worked 60 hours a week, and him being martial arts experts, all of us, I mean, Davey Ramsey, Chuck, everybody, we wanted him to put on his robe and go out there Friday night and bust center blocks with his hands. And he would do it, but I don't know. Aunt Joyce probably knows. She probably ended up having to take him to the hospital, get that thing wrapped up after he did it. But I remember standing right there where Pastor George Potter is, that as in the youth group, I was asked to, every one of us was given a task, and mine was to give the meaning of hope. And it was Uncle Charlie who taught me to have hope in Jesus Christ. And that's probably more than, that's all I needed was that. So I want to thank him for that. And I want to thank Aunt Joyce and Chuck and Karen for sharing Uncle Charlie with us.
Hey, again, I want to add to them, Bubba King and Jay, very important, Ramsey, Lee. I grew up with all of them at this Bethel, but Uncle Charlie, he's really what got me into church and knowing the Lord and believing in him and the strength. Uncle Charlie was strong and he was fast. We'd get out there and play football after church on Sunday down at Bennett's. And I just wanted to be that fast. And I was young and not being biologically the family, but this church family meant a lot to me. And my father passed in 88, and he loved to cook. And Uncle Charlie, he really, and Davey, cooking, I love to cook. Matter of fact, I got some good stuff cooked up over there.
All right.
But the family in this church and Uncle Charlie, I could stay here forever and ever, but I just want to thank the Lord for being a part of his life and him being a part of mine and all the family. I'm just very thankful.
Chuck? Jing?
I'm Chuck. I'm Charlie's son. You know, I hear everybody saying everything, and it's such kind words. And for me, my father was really two separate people. And like when Lee spoke of the discipline, that was one half of him. And the other half was how much he loved everybody and how he always thought about everybody else. I recently retired from the military. And he would come out and visit us wherever we were at. He would always cook huge quantities of food. just the most wonderful things. And I would take him to work, and we would all eat. You know, if the Soviet Union had ever chose to attack America, well, that would have been the time to do it, because we couldn't do anything. we had to sleep it off. When I was in Korea, I was in Kunsan, Korea, and the food at the base there was just miserable. It was really the awfulest thing you could imagine to ever eat. And I was speaking to my father on the phone one day, and it was a few days later, I get an email from my wife, and I guess he had talked to her and had given her recipes and wrote down in extreme detail how to prepare these dishes. We had a little kitchen in the dormitory, and we started cooking, and we didn't starve to death. I mean, that meant so much. And I was talking to a friend of mine on the phone last night, and he was in Korea with me, and he told me, he said, you know, your daddy saved my life. it was bad, but that was a half of my father, you know. And the other half was, and I heard Lee speaking, and I heard Jay, and he was talking about breaking concrete blocks. I don't remember how old. I was very, very young. But I remember riding in the car with him, and we were coming down Tharp Street, and we were going past Levy Park, and all of a sudden he just slammed on the brakes. I just burnt rubber, slammed on the brakes. I was a little kid, scared me to death. And he spun the car around, and he pulled back over into Levy, and there was a little boy, about 10 or 11, had his bicycle. And then there were three young adult males of 18 or 19. You know, they were grown to me. I was just a little kid, and he stopped the car. And apparently they were giving him a hard time. They'd taken his bicycle away from him, or had pushed him down on the ground. And he pulled up, and he stopped, and he got out. A few seconds, there was a hasty retreat. They were gone. I don't know what he said. They were gone. And I'm probably glad I didn't hear it. But he helped the little boy up. We put the bike in the back of the car, and we put the little boy in the car with us, and we took him home. And, you know, that was my father, you know. He always cared about other people. And one way or another, everything he did was to help someone else, I think. And it was really sad for me these past few years, you know, because just with leukemia and all, it's just a horrible thing. And I just, yeah. But I loved him very much. And I thank everyone for coming out.